So, after hearing Mother Mukhi's announcement this morning, one little story came to mind, you know, talking about engaging the different parts of your brain and engaging your fingers in packing. Once back in the early days at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, one devotee went there to visit Jalakar Prabhu from right here. So they asked him to give class. So he was very fired up that, I'm going to give class at the Bhaktivedanta Manor. That's such a big thing. So as he started to give the class, all the devotees were engaged in packing incense, everyone. And then trucks were backing into the temple room, bringing in. And the whole lot of operation is going on, and he started to give the class. So then, as he started, one devotee said, "Hey, you're just sitting there speaking. You can also pack some incense." So, if you feel I'm not, I'm just speaking nonsense here, you can also engage my fingers. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So because of the omission yesterday, I'll do verses 22 and 23 so we can bring it back to schedule. Verse 22 was omitted from yesterday's class. So we'll do 22 simultaneously, and then responsively we can do 23. So this is 10th Canto, chapter 85, entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Vasudev. So text 22 together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. No, together we can do it. Yeah. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Vacho vasamavetarham tataitad upaman mahe yanna putran samudisha tatva grama udaritat. Translation. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear father, I consider your statements appropriate, since you have explained the various categories of existence by referring to us, your sons." Purport. Posing as Vasudev's dependent son, Lord Krishna expresses gratitude for his father's edifying instructions. And 23. Aham yuya masavarya. Emecha dwara kaukasha. Sarvepyevam yadu shrishta vimgriya sacharacharam aham yuyam asau arya emeche dwara kaukasha sarvepyevam yadu shrishta Vimgriya sacharacharam aham yuyam asavarya emecha dwara kaukashaha sarve pevam yadu shrishta Vimgriya sacharacharam aham yuyam asavarya kemeja kvarkasha kasha. Sarve Pevam Yadu Shrestha Vimgra Sachara Charam Shrestha Vimrigyasa Characharam. Mutters. Aham Yuyamasa Varya. Eme Cha Svaraka Kashaha. Sarve Pevam Yadu Shrestha. Vimgriya sacharacharam Aham yoyami sav arya Yeme cha dwara kaukashaha Sarve pevam yadu shrestha Vimgriya sacharacharam Aham, I, Yuyam, you, Asau, he, Aryaha, my respected brother Balaram, Ime, these, Cha, and, Dwaraka Akoshaha, inhabitants of Dwaraka, Sarve, all, api, even, evam, in this same way, yadu shrestha, O best of the yadus, vimgriyaha, to be considered, sa, among, along with, chara, that which moves, Acharam, and that which does not move. So translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Not only I, but also you, along with my respected brother, and these residents of Dwarka, should all be considered in this same philosophical light. O best of the Yadus, indeed, we should include all that exists, both moving and non-moving. Purport. To respect these, his parents' intimate relationship, to protect his parents' intimate relationship with him, Lord Krishna stresses the oneness of all existence in this statement to his father, Vasudev. Vasudev had been reminded of his son's greatness by hearing the sages gathered at Kurukshetra, but his sense of awe was ruining his intimate parental relationship with Krishna, and therefore Krishna wanted to dispel it. We should not misunderstand the oneness Lord Krishna speaks of here. The subtle words of the Upanishads often misled impersonalists into believing that all existence is ineffably one. I'm not sure that's the way that word is pronounced. Without any variety in the ultimate issue. Some Upanishadic mantras emphasizes the sameness of God and His creation, while others speak about their differences, their difference. Tatvam asi svetaketo. You are that, O Svetaketu. For example, in an Abheda Vakya, a mantra affirming that all things are one with God, being His dependent expansions. But the Upanishads also contain many Veda Vakyas, statements that affirm the unique distinguishing qualities of the Supreme, such as this statement, Ka evanyat kaha pranyad Yajesha Akasha Anando Nashat Esha Evanan Dayati. Who would there be to activate the creation and give life to all beings if this infinite supreme were not the original enjoyer? Indeed, he alone is the source of all pleasure. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.7.1. By the influence of the Supreme Lord's bewildering maya, envious impersonalists read the Abheda Vakyas literally and accept the Abheda Vakyas only in a figurative way. Authoritative Vaishnav commentators, on the other hand, carefully reconcile the apparent contradictions in accordance with the interpretive principles of Vedic Mimamsa and the logically established conclusions of Vedanta. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Shri Vindata Vivira Parapattam Kajarani Prabhupada Nambarana Mashigar Bhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shmati Bhakti Vidanta Samaniti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Golabhani Vichani Vivashesha Sanyavadi Pashyachi Vishitari Hare Krishna. So, as we learned previously that the great sages appeared at this holy place of Kurukshetra, and they gave their teachings, which established the supremacy of the personality of Godhead and benefits everyone that heard their teachings. So, great accomplishment was made, a lot of achievement was done because of the presence of these great personalities. So this is the nature of great personalities. Whenever they make their appearance, it's unavoidable to have great merits achieved. Anywhere they go, by their presence, the world over benefits whoever takes the opportunity. So, some examples of this, one is Ramanujacharya We just had his celebration last week, so I'll use him as an example. Anyway, before I go to that, I'll give that example later. So, a better example to give here now is that of Narad Muni. When he made his appearance to Valmiki, the Ramayana was written, and that was way before Lord Ramachandra came. So he made his appearance, and this great work was performed. Well, when he also made his appearance to Srila Vyasadeva, then the Srimad Bhagavatam was written. When Sukadeva Goswami made his appearance at Naimisharanya, then the Srimad Bhagavatam was told. So like that, many great things are happening upon their appearance. When Srila Prabhupada made his appearance, then there are millions of lives that are affected throughout the earthly planet. Srila Prabhupada came and he dropped that rock in the middle of this ocean of this earthly planet, which created concentric waves of effects. And those waves created bigger waves, and those waves created bigger waves. That way, this Krishna consciousness is spreading all over, and so many millions of our lives are being permanently affected. So this is the nature of the appearance of great personalities. Just like the sages that appeared here. They appeared and the establishment of the Lord was made, or at least confirmed. Arjuna also talked about this in the Bhagavad Gita. However, sometimes when they appear, there is also some disturbance created in a transcendental way with other devotees. And when that happens, it creates room for more transcendental pastimes. And because it's one devotee affecting the lives or the circumstance or the pastimes of other devotees, then no one can really intervene to solve that situation. Like none of the demigods can get involved there because they're not on the level of the devotees. It's just like if a million-dollar man has some financial problems. One like me, who only has a dollar, I cannot go and solve his problem. Or a $10 person cannot solve the problem of a million-dollar person. So similarly, when devotees have these issues, then others cannot really get involved to solve that. Mainly the Lord is the one who gets involved and create more transcendental pastimes. So, one example of that is with Ramanuja Acharya. He went to Jagannath Puri at one time, and he saw the standard of worship, and he wasn't happy, he was dissatisfied. So, he's a great personality, so he's very respected. And he made an offer to the king that get everyone together and I'm going to teach you the proper way to respect the Lord and worship. So they made an arrangement that the next morning at a certain time he would come and give his instructions. So the next morning came. All the pandas and the pujaris and also the king of Puri assembled, and everyone, the entire kingdom of Jagannath Puri, they all assembled waiting for Ramanuja Acharya to come to establish the new standard to take care of the deities. So they were waiting and they were waiting and they were waiting. Time was going, but Ramanuja Acharya did not show up. So they went to the place of his residence where he was staying to see what's the matter. When they went there, they found that Ramanujacharya was not there. He was nowhere to be found. His room was locked. And if you're familiar with the Indian standard of locking doors, if it's locked from the inside, you can't open it from the outside. If it's locked from the outside, you can't open it from the inside. Actually, we had, the first time we went to India, we had our first welcome to Vrindavan. We went to Delhi, then to Jagannath Puri, Mayapur, then to Vrindavan, by which time we were all very sick. So we came in at about 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning. So we had our room at MVT. So my family, they were resting, so I decided I won't disturb them. I'll just come to Mangal Arati alone. So after Mangal Arati, but when I was coming out, look at the door. Wait a minute, you know. If I bolt the door from the outside, if they want to get out, they can't. So I thought I'll just leave the door unlocked. I just pushed it in. When I came back, I saw a huge commotion in the apartment where we were staying. There was some screaming and, you know. And then I saw the monkeys on the balcony chewing up my Bhagavad Gita, stripping it apart. So what happened? Because the door wasn't locked, they got in there. They mixed all of our tablets. We were all under medication. Everything is mixed up. Now we don't know which is which. We had to throw everything out and find other doctors. Anyway, so like that. So the way the doors were locked, so when they look at Ramanujacharya's door, it was all locked, but he wasn't there. So what happened? That night, Lord Jagannath went and dreamt him and got on his case. He said, "You are coming here to disturb my devotee's relationship with me. And I'm not pleased with that." So therefore, he posted him back to South India. He took him and airlifted him back to South India that night. So like that, because he didn't want that he disturbed the relationship, how the way his devotees are worshipping. Because sometimes if you go to Jagannath Puri, in certain times, the pujaris would sit and dine with the Lord, take prasadam with him as part of the pastimes. Another time with devotees' intervention is with Sri Sanatan Goswami. He was walking through Vrindavan and he saw something that kind of stunned him. He saw there was one Brijvasi Brahmana, Mohandas Chaube. He was sitting in his courtyard and his little son was playing. You know, it's all dust in the courtyard. And who was he playing with? He was playing with a Gopal deity. Standing in the courtyard, they were throwing dust on him, running around and all having a good time. So Sri Sanatan Goswami went and he chastised Mohandas Chaube, this Brahman. He said, "This is very disrespectful to the deity, that you can't treat the deity like this. I have to teach you how to you know, perform the proper respect and achman and worship of the deity." So that night, Gopal came in a dream of Sanatan Goswami. He said, "I was having so much fun. I was enjoying this so much, and now you come and mess the whole thing up. Now they're seeing me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything is different. Therefore, I want to come with you." And that starts a whole nother pastime, which we're not going to discuss today. So, similarly here, coming to today's verse, is a similar thing that happened if we go back to text 2, where Vasudeva is saying that due to the appearance and the presentation of these sages, that now we understood that my two sons are actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, his relationship changes with them. And so, that becomes a great disturbance due to the sages' presence and their explanation and the establishment of Krishna and Balaram as the Supreme Personalities of Godhead. It became a huge, huge disturbance for devotees like Vasudeva and Devaki. For us, we got tremendous benefits. For them, on their level, it became a great disturbance, because to understand Krishna as God, it's a lesser level of understanding than to understanding Him as a very intimate, loving personality, some that you're so attached to. So for these devotees to see Krishna as their loving son, was a much more pleasurable platform even for Krishna. Actually, one time when Bilvamangala Thakur went to Vrindavan, he was told to go there and he's going to find God. So he went to Vrindavan and he was asking that he wants to see Bhagavan. So the Brijvasis are saying, Bhagavan? There's no Bhagavan here. He said, yes, everyone, all the authorities told me that Bhagavan is residing in Vrindavan. They said, no, this is just a little forest. There's no Bhagavan here. So he got confused, but after a little while, he kind of figured it out. So he went back and he said, I'm looking for Krishna. And then everyone started jumping with joy. He said, oh, that Krishna, I love him so much. You know, then Mother Yashoda said, oh, that Krishna, he's such a naughty boy. With my stick, I'm going to chase him. And, you know, he's disturbing, stealing people's butter. And then others, you know, Jatila is saying, that Krishna, he's getting after my Radharani. I'm just going to keep a strong eye on him. So like that, everybody's thoughts were so absorbed in this Krishna. Their complete focus was on Krishna. Oh, he's such a lovely person. We can't stop thinking of him. Oh, that Krishna. So that relationship, but no one knew that he's God. No one is conscious of that. So similarly, Vasudeva and Devaki, they had the opportunity, they were granted the boon that they were given, that they would be the mother and father of Krishna in three births. So the first was Sutapa and Prishni, where we have Prishni Garba as their son. That's the incarnation of the Lord that delivered Dhruva Maharaj. There's not a whole lot mentioned about him. And then we have Kasyapa and Aditi. Their son was the little Vamanadev. So, and now here we have this pastimes where Krishna also appeared for the third time as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. So they were enjoying this relationship so much. Actually, according to my calculation, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, for about 112 years, Vasudeva and Devaki was enjoying this relationship with Krishna and Balaram as their sons, as their most, you know, attached children. And the reason why I said about 112 years is because Krishna was about 12 when he left Vrindavan. And it's also stated elsewhere that Radharani and the gopis, they bore separation from Krishna for about 100 years. And shortly after Krishna left Kurukshetra, that's when he went upon the invitation of the Pandavas to Indraprastha. That's when they performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. Shortly after that, the Pandavas were invited to the gambling match where they lost and they had to go 13 years in exile. When they came back at the end of 13 years, that's when they had the Mahabharata war and where the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And it's described that at the time when the Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Krishna and Arjuna were about 125 years old. So if you retract 13 years, it's about 112. So for about 112 years, Vasudeva and Devaki enjoyed that relationship with all they were living with Krishna in Dwarka and Mathura, where they always dwell. They were never conscious of Krishna and Balaram as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this loving relationship is there. But when the sages gave their teachings and made them aware that Krishna and Balaram, they're actually God, that created a great disturbance for them in that relationship. So that disturbance can only be rectified by the intervention of the Lord himself. And that's which brings us to today's verse. Sorry, that was a long introduction. So today's verse is where Krishna is trying to rectify that situation of he brought about this like impersonalist philosophy and trying to tell his parents, no, don't see me as God. It's like, just see everybody else, you know, as in the same way. And just try to cover that matter up and, you know, try to bring it back so that they can forget that he is God and then establish this nice loving relationship. Actually, this is one thing with the Lord. When he used to appear just by himself. And when he appeared as Lord Narsingadev, and after killing the demons, then the demigod sent Prahlad to sit on it, you know, to go and pacify him, because only Prahlad could have pacified him. Then he went and sat on Prahlad's lap, and he smelled Prahlad's head, and he was petting him. And then he was thinking, oh, this is so nice, you know, to have this loving relationship. And then he said, from now on, I'm not appearing just by myself. I would come with parents so I can enjoy that loving reciprocation. So from then on, the Lord starts to come. He brought his entourage, his parents, and all of that. So this loving relationship is there. So here in today's verse, this is explained that Krishna, to rectify this situation, like in Ramanujacharya's case, he sent Ramanuja back to South India. In Sanatan Goswami's case, he went and he lived with Sanatan Goswami, and he tried to, you know, change that. In this case here, to reestablish this loving relationship, Krishna is speaking some impersonalist philosophy. So we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's the ultimate authority. So whatever he says is absolute. But from a higher level, we understand that the absolute don't always speak the absolute truth. As in this case here, that here is a circumstantial statement that Krishna is making. Many times we have problems with this, even within our society, that sometimes somebody pulls a statement from Srila Prabhupada out of context and said, yes, Srila Prabhupada said so. Actually, one time, I'll just give one example of how some Srila Prabhupada made some of these statements. Once, I believe he was in Vrindavan, just initiated two sannyasis, and he turned to one of them and he said, now that you have taken sannyas, sannyas means that you don't stay one place, you travel and preach. So then he turned to the other sannyasi and he said, now that you have taken sannyas, you should stay here and manage. So it sounds like two totally contradictory statements. So the thing about it is that those weren't like absolute instructions. They were individual instructions. They were circumstantial. So similarly here, to understand Krishna and his teachings here, we have to see things from a very broad perspective of the circumstances under which Krishna is presenting this philosophy. He's presenting it to cover up a circumstance. It doesn't mean that it is the absolute philosophy that God is impersonal. So many times, especially the impersonalists, because that desire is there, then they use many parts of the scripture, and they would pull things out of context and say, this is what it says, here it is, here's what it says. But we have to understand things from a broader perspective. We have to understand the entire circumstance and why something was said or why something was done. Just like there's a common saying that if somebody says something, let's say somebody criticized me, I shouldn't just take it okay, he's just an envious person, he's criticizing. That person may have 100 reasons why he said what he said. So the best thing to do is to analyze and understand the circumstances of where statements are made and understand that. You know, just like we have with Shankaracharya, he came and he spoke the Sankhya philosophy. And it's all about, you know, establishing that God is impersonal. But it was done for a purpose. It wasn't done to establish absolute knowledge. It was done to delude the impersonalist. Towards the end, he told all his disciples that Bhajagovinda, 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 Namare. I'm not sure if that's the exact part of it. But anyway, basically saying that, put aside all of this, and if you want to know the absolute truth, worship Govinda as a person. So, this entire Shankar philosophy came about for a purpose, to delude those who wants to be deluded. Similarly, many times there are statements that are made, and who wants to take that to support their own standing, to support their own philosophy, to support their own arguments, then they take that as the absolute. Just like sometimes even children, you know, the child would go to the mother and said, "Oh, you know, can I have this candy?" And the mother said, "Oh no, too much sweets are not good for you." And then she go and she ran back and she said, "Oh mom, you know what? Dad said I can have the candy." She didn't go and tell dad, mom said no, it's bad for her. But because she wanted candy, she said, "Well, dad said it's okay, you can take it." So like that, you know, we kind of take things where we want to take it. So many times in here, like in this purport, it's explained that there are two categories, Beda Vakyas and Abheda Vakyas. Abheda Vakyas is the impersonal aspect, explained that the Lord is God is one, everyone is God, and all this impersonal philosophy that sprouts up. And Beda Vakyas is to establish the personal form, and is the Lord as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Qualitatively, we are one. Quantitatively, we are different. We are infinite, and the Lord is infinitesimal. We are finite, and He is infinite. So the Lord is unlimited. We are very minute and limited. So this is one thing that we have to be very careful with, especially like reading the scriptures, to understand and understand the broad aspect of when someone is explaining, giving a circumstance, giving some philosophy, giving some teachings, understand the broad perspective of what they're speaking, not to just pull something out of context. You know, we have to understand the very broad thing. So why they're saying what they are saying. So sometimes it's a little tricky, because to understand, it means that we have to also subject ourselves to authorities. And that's what this purport is talking about, the latter part of the purport, it's implied that we should learn our Vaishnav standards, learn about philosophy and the Supreme Lord through authorities and under guidance that are able to establish that authority. So, for example, like the Goswamis, and even all the Acharyas in our line, the six Goswamis and all the different devotees, you always hear that when they're studying, you never heard of them studying independently. They will study together, or they will study under the guidance. That statement is always there. Studying under the guidance of such and such. So this is very instructive for us in understanding Krishna consciousness, to be studying under the guidance of our authorities, to serve under the guidance, like everyone is serving in this temple. But is anyone serving independently? No, we are serving under the guidance of the temple management, under the guidance of the temple authorities. So it's like that, our entire lives and understanding should be circled on this, of understanding things from the higher perspective, understanding matters from authorities, and able to come to the right conclusion. Just like if someone goes to school, there are so many books, then someone can say, "Well, you know, just study the books. Why do you need guidance and counseling and teachers and so forth?" But no, they are there to give you the proper understanding of what is stated in the text. Similarly, Krishna consciousness. You know, these texts are here, everything is here, so we have to follow them very strictly according to the understanding and the guidance of the predecessor acharyas. And like that, we would be able to come to the correct conclusion. Because they have analyzed all these scriptures. They understand the circumstance which every word and every statement has been made in every revealed scripture. And they can able to share that with us. So this is very important. Not to just come to the Bhagavatam and then you said, hey, you know, you go to Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 85, Text 23. And look, Krishna says here, right here, that we are all one. You know, so we shouldn't be doing that. We should explain, but explain under what circumstance he says that. That way, we can come to the proper conclusion and proper understanding of what is there in the scriptures. So this is very instructive in this verse here of understanding that Krishna is doing this under circumstance. He's not preaching absolute philosophy. He's doing it under circumstance so that he can revive this relationship with his parents. So I would like to stop there. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, Trivikram Prabhu.
So the Lord's foremost descent is to actually relish the pastimes with his devotees, like the gopis, you know, his friends and so forth. And simultaneously, he was establishing religious principles, vanquishing demons and so forth. But here it seems like the sages, to some degree, were unaware of this foremost principle. So when they noticed that like the parents, Vasudev, were asking them for advice rather than Krishna, they were kind of astounded. They were astonished at what was happening there. And they should be asking Krishna for advice. So this looks like a little contradiction, because the Lord wants to relish pastimes with his devotees, but in order to relish pastimes with the devotees, they have to become unaware of his supremacy. In other words, if they're aware that he is the supreme, then they would not be able to relish the pastimes as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, the sages are unaware of this. And so, can you shed some light on that?
I won't say that the sages are unaware, but everyone has their function, you know, in devotional service. Every devotee has their function. And the function of these sages is to establish the supreme authority of the Lord. So that's what they appeared for. They appeared to benefit everyone. As far as that personal, intimate relationship between the Lord and his close circle of devotees, they are not really involved with that. Just like you have the present government here, the president, and you have so many ministers. All the ministers, they're involved with the president in managing the whole country. And, you know, they are giving instructions and guidance based on that supreme authority, which is okay. But when it comes to the president's personal family, there are no agents for that. There are no ministers for that. He personally attends. There's no minister to come and take care of that. So he personally attends to that. So similarly, these sages, you know, they're there for a purpose to establish. But when it comes to the Lord's like intimate devotees, they're like his own family. Like devotees are in that category. So it's a personal matter with he and the Lord. Them and the Lord. It's a personal relationship where the Lord personally takes care. Or, on the other hand, he personally intervenes as what I was speaking earlier, that when these great devotees apparently contradicts the status of these other great devotees, Vasudeva and Devaki, then which demigod or which ordinary person can intervene in that? When devotees have their issues, people of lower category can't really get involved. They don't know how to solve it. So either equally established devotees of that standard to solve, or the Lord himself comes in to solve that problem. So whilst it appears like a contradiction here, it's also another form of the pastimes of the Lord, where he's establishing this. So another thing too is that, and I'm not sure if it's stated in Bhagavatam, in some of the other Puranas you may find it, that Vasudeva and Devaki, they were given this boon to be the Lord's parents for three births and enjoy that relationship, that loving relationship. Now it's coming, it's wrapping up here. This third birth is actually wrapping up here, of where they are now given the chance to reestablish, to understand that their loving child is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were given this opportunity to serve the Lord in this capacity. But ultimately, we're all servants of the Lord. So that he got the opportunity to be the father and mother of the Lord for a certain period of time. So I think you understand like the difference there. So it's not a contradiction. You can see things from different angles and understand that everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a purpose to perform. Like, for example, one time when I was in Miami, I had I was actually doing some communication, installation, and programs for the Broward County Work Release Project, that's the jail. So I had to go in there myself. I had two other workers with me. We went in there to establish all your communication system and whatever, entertainment and so forth. And when I was there, initially they were treating me just like the other prisoners. I had to follow all the regulations. Every 5 minutes we had to go stand at the door, call the main office, put us on camera, say what we were doing, where we go. Then they would open the door and back and forth. So then afterwards I told them, hey, I'm not one of these jailbirds, I'm here as a visitor. I'm here as above the authorities of these here to perform a function. So therefore, I have the right to walk through these doors without all these authorities. And then, the lady said, well, she has to speak with her boss on that. So then she called the boss. He was right there, supervisor. So then he said, yes, the prison warder has the same authority, that he doesn't have to go through all these different, stages, that they can come and they can break the rules, apparently, that they don't have to go through authorities. They can just walk right through in and out. So like that we were going. So the idea is that sometimes the Lord himself, he can break the rules and regulations of the norms of what's going on. Okay, he can break that and establish a higher principle, a higher level. So when he comes to the material world, he doesn't always have to follow all these. So even though like the sages are establishing that this is the Lord, he's a person, if he wants, he can also say something else, as what he's saying here. Oh, never mind that, just see all of us as one. We're all, we're all absolute, we're all impersonal. So he can say that, but basically we can't, So the supremacy, I think there was one time I saw, my kids had a movie called Above the Law. And what it is, one person was breaking the law to establish the law. Just like Lord Krishna broke his own promise that he would not fight in a battle when he was attacking Bhishmadev. So he broke, he can say that he broke the law to protect the law, because he broke it to protect Arjuna, which he broke his own promise, he broke his own law to give relish to Arjuna, which is his great devotee, and to Bhishma Dev, which is also his great devotees. Both of them were his very intimate devotees. So he broke the law to give joy to both of them in this warrior code. So sometimes the Lord does like that. So here, he's just giving a different philosophy, just, you know, for the pleasure of his devotees. But it's not the absolute philosophy. Is that okay? Yeah. So, is there anything else? Okay, so I guess we can stop here. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.